Good afternoon. This is Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. We're located just two lights west of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. We have with us today as our guest, Dr. Phil. No, it's Dr. Phil Savalaski, who's an author of a book, Faith, A Journey of Faith. And with us, as always, is Pastor Will. He's the pastor of Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And me, I'm Ed Fox, Director of Education at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. We'll start with folks.
Come on, Eddie. Relax. We're here now.
We'll start with Pastor Will.
Come on.
Who will give us an overview of last week's conversation.
Amen. Thank you. Good afternoon. It's our privilege to be here at Welcome. Listen for the joy.
Amen.
Listen for the joy. Encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. That's what this program is about. Our goal with this whole program is to just, we know that God has called us all to be witnesses. And I know that this listening audience is made up of a lot of God's folks that love God, God-fearing folks. But I want you to consider when he says in Romans 1:16, when he says that the gospel goes to the Jew first and also the Greek, I understand we're doing pretty good on the also part. We just miss out on that to the Jew first. And so our goal is to encourage everybody who listens to this radio program. You have friends, you have coworkers, you have people that you work with, that you see. And a lot of the teaching out there is that Jewish people don't need the gospel.
I've always thought that was true.
Well, I thought it was kind of strange considering that the Apostle Paul said he needed it, you know, and James and John, they said they needed it. So somewhere down the road, something got changed. But we're working on our fifth program, I believe it is.
Our last
guest here was Brother LeBlanc, Patrick LeBlanc, and Brother LeBlanc laid something on us on the book that he wrote, and his book was all about, he said, when you look in the book of Revelation and you see where every tribe, every tongue, every nation, they're all around God's throne, and they're all worshiping together. And he says, so how does that work when we only see it in heaven, and we're supposed to see it here too?
Amen.
And we can get along with each other on every other aspect. We can go. How about them Cowboys? We can go to a Cowboy game. We can hoop, holler, snot, split. We can do everything. But when it comes to worship, we willfully separate and segregate ourselves. And isn't it interesting that God puts an end to it in heaven, but he's telling us it should be on earth as it is in heaven?
Amen.
And so, amen. So we're excited about having, I call him Dr. Phil. I didn't realize until today. It was just so natural. His name's Philip David Savalaski, and the guy is so sharp. It was just natural for me to call him Dr. Phil. So why don't you folks run out right now, pick up your phone, get on your Facebook, and tell your friends, Dr. Phil's on Heaven 97.
I do have hair, though.
Hey, man, he's got hair. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of rundown of what we're going to be doing coming up at the church. We have some things coming up at the church. On April 15th and 16th, we have what we call the Homiletics Conference, April 15th and 16th. Just think of it as tax relief. Here's what the Homiletics Conference is. It's the art of preaching. Homiletics is the art of preaching. And the Lord has blessed us. This is our, ninth or eighth? This is our eighth homiletics conference. And what we do is we have invited four Bible teaching schools here, seminaries, to come to our church. Arlington Baptist University, Southern Bible Institute, Southwestern Theological, and also Criswell College. Each one of those institutes sends us two graduating preachers.
Wow.
And what we do for two nights. We just have a hallelujah good time encouraging these men and doing what God has called them to do.
Yes.
And ultimately, it's a fundraiser for the four schools that participate, because there's never enough money for education in the homiletics department. And so anything that we can do to the church, there's no money that goes to Good Shepherd from this. It's our joy and our honor to host this program.
Amen.
And because we want people to know. Well, they say, "Oh, Pastor so and so done gone to glory." Well, God's got another one, and guess what? He might even be better. So, what we do is we want people to understand and come on out. Be prepared to help give to this, but be prepared to be filled with the teaching and what these men, some young, some older, they're just going to bring you the word. So that's April 15th and 16th. If you have a hard time remembering that, just think. Tax relief. Come out and hear the word of God. That. Tax relief. Monday and Tuesday nights, the 15th and 16th of April. And that's going to be at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Where are we located, Eddie?
We're located at 1880 Mayfield Road. And we'll be having those hallelujah good times between 6 and 9.
Amen.
On Monday and Tuesday.
So y'all come on out. Support this program if you can. We'd love for you to come on out and help us out. And we want you to be fed spiritually. I think, are we ready for our daily dose?
I think we're ready for our daily dose of joy. Because these folks, we got to crank up the joy.
Okay,
with
we, gotta, okay. We see, because here's the contention here's what God has placed in my heart some time ago. For some reason, people think that when you start serving God, all of a sudden your face has to drop to the ground and you got to moan. And we don't, there's very little laughter in the house. There's very little joy in the house. And so maybe what we all need every now and again is a daily dose of joy.
You bring me joy.
You bring me joy. See, we're a low-budget program, so we can't afford the recording. Give it to me one more time, Eddie.
You bring me joy.
Amen. Okay. Now for a daily dose. Oh, and by the way, I just looked off to the side. We have a live studio audience here with us today.
Amen.
Okay. And before I proceed, where do they find us at on Facebook? Are we doing this thing on Facebook?
We're doing this thing on Facebook, and it's www.facebook.com and then /GSBC. Listen for the joy.
Listen for the joy. Okay. Daily dose of joy. One more time.
You bring me joy.
Okay. Eddie. Okay. This old cowboy. He come into town and he's been driving all night long, and he pulls up to this restaurant. He pretty well wore out, and he goes in. He says, "But I need some breakfast. Got to get some breakfast before I go in. Got to get some breakfast." And so he goes in, and he sits down at the table. Waitress comes over. She's nice and everything. She says, "May I help you, sir?" He says, "Yeah." He said, "I need some breakfast. She said, "Well, what would you like?"
"Ooh."
"What would you like?" He said, "Well, I think I'll take some oatmeal, some toast."
"Oh, yeah."
"And two eggs."
"Yep.
Two eggs. And so she said, "Oatmeal, toast, two eggs." "Oatmeal, toast, two eggs." "Well, how would you like to have your eggs, sir?" "I'd like to have one scrambled and the other one raw."
Raw.
That's what they said. "One scrambled, another one raw." And she said, "Are you sure?" "One scrambled, another one raw." She said, "Okay. Customer's always right." She puts in the order. She brings it back. She goes, "Here you go, sir. Here's your oatmeal, your toast, your two eggs. One scrambled, one raw." Old cowboy looks. Man, he looks at the plate, and she said, "What's the matter?" He said, "You scrambled the wrong one." Okay. Church pastors, that he's going to have a pledge to raise money. He's going to have a pledge to raise money. Every church, we bake sales. We're going to get some money. We be Baptists. We're going to get some money. Okay. So pastor says, "You know, we're trying to raise some money for the church. And so here's what we'll do. To the first person who pledges $1,000 First person who pledges $1,000, we're going to let that person pick out the next three hymns.
All right.
Yeah, that's
all
pretty
right,
good.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to let the next person who first person who pledges $1,000 gets to pick out the next three hymns.
Wow.
Little old lady in the back of the church, she jumped right up.
She
jumped right up. She goes, "Pastor, I pledge $1,000. He said, "Well, okay, ma'am. Well, sister, we appreciate that. What's your pick?" She looked around the congregation. She said, "I'll take him and him and him."
Okay. There's your daily dose of joy.
Amen.
So you're
listening to Good Shepherd Baptist Church. You're listening to us on Heaven 97. Listen for the joy. And please, enjoy. This is the life that you have here now. And if you don't get started enjoying it, when will you get started enjoying
it? That's right.
And the best way to enjoy this life is by serving our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With the way that you live and the way that you walk
Amen.
And the way that you talk.
Amen. It's now time for you to call in on our request line. It's 972-996-3970. And any question or comments you'd like to make, call in. But specifically, we're asking that you give us the names of some folks that you'd like us to pray for, particularly Jewish folks who need to know Jesus Christ. And you call in and give us their names, and we will pray for them. It's on 972-996-3970. You can also find Good Shepherd Baptist Church on www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. That's www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. We are asking you to join us right now in our conversation, 972-996-3970. The next person will be our guest, Dr. Phil Savulaski. He'll tell us about his testimony. Dr. Phil, tell us, in your book you said that you wanted to introduce your testimony by giving a little history of the Jewish people. Tell us what you meant by that.
Well, my family came from Russia, Belarus.
Okay.
And so I'm always been one that focusing on where, going the backstory, where did they come from? Why were the Jews in Russia? Where did they come from? What was their history? You go back as far as the 132 when Hadrian kicked all the Jews out of Jerusalem. It was the Bar Kochba revolt. And because of that, he renamed the area Arius Capitolinus, Jerusalem, and he renamed Israel Palestintia. That's where the name Palestintia comes from. And many Jews who were kicked out moved up and traveled up towards Belarus, towards Russia. Many Jews came from there. So that was why I gave the history of where my great-grandfather fled. 1905. If you've seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof,
oh yeah, I have.
That's not my grandfather, great grandfather, anything like that. But it's a story of my great grandfather in that he was forced out of Russia at that time. And then I've looked on some programs that computer programs, and he did something a little unusual. Not everybody went to New York when they came to the United States. He actually came in through the backside into Georgia and came in through Georgia. And so most of my family is from Augusta, Georgia, in that area.
All right.
Or the area around it.
Just so out of curiosity, did he have a certain – why Georgia instead of where so many other – people came in, like New York and everything. Was there a certain draw there for him?
No, just a log jam. To get into New York.
God's providence.
Difficult. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was just where everybody focuses on New York, because they should, because that's where most immigrants came in. But they literally came around the other direction.
Okay.
And that's the story.
Okay, well,
sticking with it.
I want the listeners to understand. We are blessed to be in fellowship with several of our Jewish believing brothers, and people say, well, why, what perspective do they bring to the text? And when they're teaching, because Dr. Phil, he's a teacher. He teaches over at the school, over at Norris Baptist Seminary over in Fort Worth, and he teaches all over the country, really, at different Baptist churches, teaching different books of the Bible. By the way, next time he comes back, we're going to be doing the seven feast, the Jewish feast.
All right.
But he has promised me that we are going to go through what most people consider the most boring book of the Bible, Leviticus. I just want him to know it is when I first started reading the Bible, I would just literally skip over it. And it wasn't until after you start really
along with Numbers.
Yeah. But we are going to be hitting on that, and that's all for a later date. But one thing that Brother Phil had brought when I was going through his book, and by the way, Dr. Phil, tell them, what's the name of your book and where can they get it?
A Journey of Faith, From the Shema and Shadows to Shiloh and Shalom. If you can, you can go on my website, www.otmi.org, and email me, and we'll work something out. I am not on Amazon or eBay or things of that nature. Nothing wrong with them. Just that I have chosen to do it this way. Mainly because if you're on Amazon and eBay, they don't give you much money.
Okay.
And you get pennies on the dollars.
Really?
Wow. Yes, yeah, so you don't get a lot. And if you get it in a bookstore, you get less than a few pennies because they keep all the money. I found this is just works best for me. And so you're welcome to email me and text me. And we'll be glad to send you the book. And then you get the book and you're happy with it. Send in your donation, and we're good.
Man, right. What a deal.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Good book, too.
Well, yeah, it is. And like I said, one of many things, when I talk about from a Jewish perspective, you hear things. When Paul says that he was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he was of the tribe of Benjamin.
Wow.
It wasn't until I was reading Dr. Phil's book the significance of that statement, because we know there's no little thing in the Bible. So,
right.
Dr. Field, would you please explain what was the significance of Paul telling everybody that he was of the tribe of Benjamin?
Tribe of Benjamin wasn't a very good or something you would boast about. They had a lot of problems. So when you read that, you go, well, why is he boasting? I'd be almost, I won't say embarrassed, but it wasn't the most proud like Judah or something of that nature.
Sort of like my family.
So why was he so proudful? Well, the tribe of Benjamin, the land was given, the promised land, Jerusalem was given, was split up in two tribes. The tribe of Judah got one half, and the tribe of Benjamin got the other half. So when he's saying he's from the tribe of Benjamin, he's saying, look, I didn't leave my ancestral home. It goes all the way back in the Old Testament times, and we stayed faithful, and we stayed true to the Word, and we stayed in my ancestral's home. So it really then starts making sense. The New Testament was written with the understanding that you know you're old, or you don't say Old Testament. Who likes to be called old?
Right.
Or you'll say Hebrew Scriptures or the Tanakh. That's just a way of saying something without being derogatory, and the old is not meant to be derogatory, but some Jewish people will take it that way. But it was written that you understood it, and if you understand a lot of what's going to Israel and what went on there, the New Testament, the culture is all about Jesus and all about Israel and the Jewish people. The Jewishness of our Savior, there is no question about that. The
nope.
Jewishness of the church that he started with the disciples, again, right out of the synagogue, and then they met at the temple, and that was the first church there in Jerusalem. And then you've got the missionaries. The first missionaries were Jewish. The Bible, the Word of God that we hold so dear, every book, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God used a Jew, and yes, Luke was a Jew, may have been Hellenistic, but he was a Jew because Romans 3 says the oracle of God was given to the Jew. Oracle means written word.
Okay. Amen.
And there's other verses we can deal with in Colossians 2. But the point of all matter of this is that it's a Jewish book.
Amen.
Okay. If you're going to study the Bible, be it old or new, you need to have a firm grasp or see the Bible through Jewish eyes. Now, you can understand the Bible without having all the culture and geography. You can understand about salvation, the lostness, that if you've never accept Christ as your Savior, the need for a Savior. And so, I mean, but what I'm trying to say is if you're going to dig a little deep, go past the surface, and you want to get to the deep where the Bible really just comes alive and grabs you and gets you excited to serve Him, then you're going to have to see and understand a little bit of the Jewish culture. And then the more you dig, the more you'll love. And the more you love, the more you'll dig. And so that's how it connects.
And that's so important for us as believers, because there comes a point in time where you do want to know more about the scriptures. You do want to know more about God's plan. And when he says to us in Romans 11, one of the foundations of this program, when he says to us, I saved you, Mr. Gentile.
That's right.
Gentile meaning anybody other than somebody of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I saved you specifically to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Make him see that joy in your life. Make him see what he's missing out so that he might desire that relationship that all through the Tanakh, the Torah, all through there, you see where David is excited, Moses is excited, just everybody. And they don't have that, y'all.
That's right.
They don't have that. Right. And God says, through our mercy, he said, because we were shown mercy by their disobedience, and so God therefore brought us into the olive tree. He said, but guess what? Your mercy, they're getting this word, is dependent upon the people I'm speaking to today. This group.
The ground is level at the cross.
Amen. There you go.
Jew, Gentile, all need to understand the loss. We've broken God's commandment. There's 613, you know, the 10, but you've broken God's commandment. A Jew needs a Savior just as much as a Gentile needs a Savior. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're all one in Christ.
Amen.
We still keep our nationality and who we are as an individual, but positionally, we're all equal.
Yeah.
So Paul was referring in Romans 2, where he says that he is not a Jew that's one outwardly, but inwardly is where it is. It's speaking of being a Jew as a nationality.
Okay.
And so it was supposed to be in the Old Testament of faith as well.
Okay.
But it didn't matter, because if you were a Jew in the Old Testament, you were under the Abrahamic covenant and Israel received the blessings or curses. It had nothing to do with faith. The faith was supposed to have, it was supposed to have that. And in New Testament time, what Paul is talking about is he was dealing with, there were many Pharisees that held the viewpoint that circumcision was good enough for salvation. That if you were circumcised, by the way, it's still true today in many ways of rabbinical teachings. But circumcision was something that was thought of as required for salvation. And when that's what Paul is focusing about. He's not really what a Jew was supposed to be, just circumcised.
Yeah.
He's still a Jew,
yeah.
But one is he's not one of a Jew who has come to faith.
So when we're talking, when we meet this listening audience, when we meet our Jewish friends, our coworkers, our classmates, we can't assure them, not only are you still a Jew, if you're of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are a completed Jew. You have received, when you've come to Christ, you have believed on everything, all that God promised you.
Yes.
And so that's, because that's a stumbling block, because Paul did not discontinue being a Jew. He was always a Jew, and he was a Christian.
I was born a Jew because my parents were Jewish. And I will die a Jew because of that. But it's being Jewish is a nationality, not a faith. It's supposed to be both, but it does not require. Even today, who is a Jew is a long theological debate.
Yeah.
Who makes a Jew? And Reform say, well, as long as one of the two were Jewish good enough, Orthodox It has to be through the mother. And but biblically, all your genealogies in the Bible always come from the father.
Okay.
Amen. And so that's why Matthew and Luke all have, through the genealogy, though we think Luke might deal with Mary possibly, and that's another discussion. But the point of the thing of the matter is, it's always through the male, not the female. Now, the Orthodox rabbis will disagree only because the reason why they chose the woman is because you always know who the baby is.
Right. Yeah, you can't be sure.
DNA checks.
Amen.
300 years ago. Right. That was why the rabbis chose going through the mother.
Okay, well, we're going to.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. What we're doing now is you're listening to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is a listener supported ministry of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church at 1880 Mayfield Road. If you're listening, you can get us online at www.facebook.com/GSBC Listen for the Joy. You can listen online at www.facebook.com/GSBC Listen for the Joy. We're here every first and third Saturdays of the month, and we'd like you to we invite you to join the conversation. We're at 972-996-3970. Come join us. We have as our guest Dr. Phil Savalaski. He's an instructor at Norris Bible Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth, and our very own Pastor Will, pastor of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I'm Ed Fox, director of education at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Come join us.
Okay, and at this time, because this, for this particular program, this is going to be the main focus. I want the folks out there to hear how Dr. Phil came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His testimony is very encouraging as well as amazing. And I just, folks, there's Jewish people all around you.
Yeah.
The reason that God told us to go ye therefore into all the world, because he'd already scattered them everywhere. And he said, now when you get there, you're going to find them. You just got to start talking and let them see and hear the joy in your life. So that means, now, if they're going to see and hear and feel the joy in your life, that means we got to do a little bit less whining, a little bit less crying, and a whole lot more praising.
Amen.
And this is the big one. Just a whole lot more. Get up in the morning and say thank you. That is so, no matter what your station in life, no matter where you're at, we just want you to get up in the morning and say thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I'm going to toss this ball over to Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil, take us back to
1972.
Yeah. How did you get here?
Let me start with just a verse of scripture. And it was one that later, when I got saved, became my verse of scripture by faith. It's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which follow me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Boy, that is a major verse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't want to go there. But here's the verse. And everyone that forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands. And the key here is, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold. Now, when the Bible says hundredfold, if you go into the Greek, it really means thousandfold. No, I'm joking. I like to say that hundredfold because I've been so blessed. I have a beautiful wife of 45 years.
Yes.
I have, 43 years, honey. I'm sorry, jumped ahead there.
Time flies when you're having fun.
There you go.
Amen.
43 years. I have 2 children, 5 grandchildren. Our ministry, Olive Tree Ministry International, has been going. We just celebrated our 25th year. God is so blessed in what we get to do and what we've done. So I say a hundredfold. Okay, I make it a little bit. It really is hundredfold. God's everlasting life. I was raised in a Concert Orthodox Jewish Home. Now, what I mean by Concert Orthodox means that we were we had Orthodox leaning, but we went to a conservative synagogue for a while. Then we ended up going to Orthodox synagogue for a while. But I had good family. I had good parents. Let me make sure you understand that. They were loving parents. And today, my brother is a Lubavitch Hasidic rabbi. So you that are out there that maybe question whether I was a Orthodox Jew or not, he's Lubavitch. His name was Stephen Savolovsky. Now it's Shlomo Savolovsky. He teaches at Wayne State University in Michigan. And so you can go online and check just so you can verify who I'm say I am. They have a Jewish background. My sister teaches at has taught at a Jewish day school as principal. But raised in a typical Jewish home with loving parents, attended synagogue, was bar mitzvahed. That means a child of the commandment, age 13, and did all that was required. But the problem I had was that sports was my little G God. Sports was everything to me. I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, and didn't go with girls who do. Amen. Not because I thought those things were wrong, just Dad said, hey, if you want to play sports, you can't do those things. And then some people look at me and say, now, Phil, are you telling me you played football? I mean, you're not very big and tall. Well, today, Satan has so trapped many of our young people into sports to where they think they're going to be all pro or wherever, make that $1 million contract, or today multi-million dollar contract.
Exactly.
So I was 5'5" back then, 150 pounds, and but I did everything in sports and I excelled in them, did very well. And finally, one homecoming night, I was injured and I was taken to the hospital, but my parents had not attended the game. I was underage. And so the doctors wouldn't do anything until they had approval from my dad and mom, and they were out of town. So it got very sticky for a little bit. But finally, they got a hold of my mom. This all takes place in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I was injured, and the doctor that I had, he was the bone specialist for the Miami Dolphins. He said, Phil, as I went through therapy on my shoulder, he said, you're 5'5", 150 pounds. It's time you get a new profession.
And but you were the captain of the football team, weren't you?
I was okay, so undefeated JV football team.
Wow.
And I was the only freshman that played on the varsity, started on the varsity, not just played. So everything, my whole world crashed down, and a girl I was dating at this time, she was not Jewish, and I was dating her without my parents' knowledge or permission, and she was the first one, seeing my discontent, told me about Jesus, and a number of different verses. So I did what any good Jew does when you talk about any verse in the Old Testament. Like she had, the Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6 and 7, Micah 5:2, and on and on it goes. And so I said, Rabbi, what do these verses mean? And the rabbi said, well, Chaim, my Hebrew name is Chaim David ben Altram Yaakov, or you can call me Brother Phil, just as long as you call me for supper, I guess.
Amen.
But anyway, he said his response was the Hebrew scriptures were for the Jew, and the New Testament was for Gentiles. What didn't satisfy me, I began reading God's Word. And by the way, it's God's Word that's sharpened in a two-edged sword, not yours or my thoughts or philosophies.
Amen.
The Word of God is where we turn, that God cuts where we need to cut. And after almost a year of reading, I was 16 at the time, I came to the understanding that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Isn't that great?
Amen. But there was you would think everybody would be happy.
Yeah, you would think, but there's a problem here. Because I said, what has that got to do with me? The Bible says a Jew is the apple of God's eye. Why do I need a Savior in being Jew good enough? As they said the same thing to Jesus, and they said the same thing to John the Baptist. So I put the Bible down, and I was in school, and one of the students was a friend, and I knew him from baseball days, and he said, we're going to hear a man by the name of Nicky Cruz speak. He was talking to another student. I happened to hear it, And I immediately jumped in the conversation because a year before, while I was captain of the undefeated JV football team, we got out of public school to go see the movie The Cross and the Switchblade.
God's Providence.
Yes. Of course, at the time, it didn't mean a whole lot to me. And I didn't even think about it because everything was going great. But then I got hurt, couldn't play, read the Bible, and now I hear he's speaking. I said, "You mean Nicky Cruz is true?" And he said, he looked at me and said, "Well, yeah, would you like to come?" I said, "Well, where is it going to be at?" He said, "Well, we're going to meet at the church." And I said, "No, you're not going to get me one of them places. People rolling around the aisle, bats flying around, things like that. Not one of those places."
But just a second here. Folks, understand, he's not exaggerating right now because there's a lot of things that we were taught as kids about certain cultures, and there were certain things that they were taught about certain cultures, and that being the church.
That's right.
So don't go going, oh, you know your mama told you don't go certain places because those people.
That's right.
And so go ahead, my brother.
So they said, well, we're going to meet at the Coliseum, and we did, and of course we have so much I could say, but the bottom line is Nicky Cruz said that he was the chief of sinners. And then that's when the stench of my sin, I realized though I was a Jew, the apple of God's eye, that I still need a Savior so that my sins were forgiven, went forward accepting Christ as my Savior. At that time, we went back home and began going to church. I had to leave Sunday mornings at my parents' knowledge.
You began going to church. Not like the family getting up and going.
Why would you not want to go? That's where God's word is taught.
Amen.
In Jewish evangelism, they say, well, a Jew won't come to your church. Well, that's correct. That's typically correct. But a saved Jew ought to want to go.
Yes.
That's where God's word's taught. And so I began attending. And finally, I was asked about baptism, to be baptized. And I was gloriously baptized. Unbeknownst to me, one of the ladies in the church worked with my mom. And the next day, she commented how great it was to see Brother Phil get baptized. Came home from school that next day, and first thing I noticed is my brother and sister weren't there. My mom was home, and my dad, who never gets home at 3, and get there. And of course, they had gone through my drawers looking for, like you would for drugs, found my Bible. And yeah. Finally, after a 3-hour conversation,
they thought you were on drugs.
Yeah.
They would have preferred that, probably.
After a 3-hour conversation, I was given the ultimatum. Either I reject what I've done, come back into the synagogue, or leave home.
And you were how old again?
I was 16.
Okay.
And I knew very little Bible. I knew just enough Bible to put out the fleece, so to speak, and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And so I prayed and cried and cried and prayed. And finally, sitting down at the youth center, getting late, I sat and felt something in my leg, and I'd sat right in the middle of an ant pile. And what it did was it jumped up, took me down to the other side of the youth center, and sat there for a little bit, felt something in my leg, thought, man, I've got to get away from my antagonist and meet and get to higher ground. And it was a slide. And while I was up there for just a second, I was right by the parking lot now and heard this old man.
Okay.
This guy was old. He'd be at least 40 years old.
And were you 16?
I was 16, 40s old.
40s old when you're 16.
He was playing the guitar, and he got down, gave a short testimony, and that's when I knew that what had happened in my life was real. And that if he could save me, he would take care of me. I walked back to the house, packed what little I had, a few dollars I had, and left home.
At 16 years old.
16 years of age, finished
to go serve Jesus.
Yes, finished high school, went on to Bible college at the college you used to be called Arlington Baptist College,
yes.
Now Arlington Baptist University.
Wow.
Amen.
And what a story.
All the way from Georgia.
Yeah. I never saw my dad again. He passed away for 7 years later. And I've seen my mom maybe 4 times. She passed away just a couple years ago. But what does it profit for a man to gain the whole world and lose his very soul? And so when I read Matthew 19:29, these brother, sister, mother, and father for my namesake, it really is, literally means I've been blessed 100-fold.
And it really means it's going to cost you something to serve God. And that's a lesson for all of us to understand that no matter what culture you're brought in, no matter what home you're brought up in, when you decide, I think it was Adrian Rogers, before he went home to glory, Adrian Rogers preached a sermon one time that I heard where he said, if you want people to think you're really, really strange, just start following the Bible. He said, just live the life that the Bible, and your family will consider, they will think that you just fell off the moon if you start doing what God.
Other Christians will think.
Oh, yes. Loving those who hate you, praying for those who spitefully use you, and that is just unconscionable. That sounds too much like Jesus.
Yeah.
When I was reading your book, Dr. Phil, I thought you were talking about the gentleman who you met in the park, and he was playing the guitar, singing, and this part you didn't say, but I thought it was pretty cool. He was having wife troubles. The old guy was having wife troubles, and how wonderful, you know. Then you said his wife was not saved, and he had recently become a believer himself. Uh-huh. The guy playing the guitar, and so rather than say I'm saved now, I'm leaving you, the man said, okay, I'm gonna pick up my guitar, I'm gonna go to the park, I'm going to pray, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to go right back home, and I'm going to live a life that this woman should see a change in me.
That took courage.
When Jesus steps into your life, there has to be a change. Not just a change of your lips, but a change of your feet. There has to be a change. And so when this man, when Dr. Phil was out there, and he needed a, which said, the Jew requires a sign. He said, Lord, I need something. Yeah. I need something.
I'm a good
something.
Jew.
He's a, and he's, I need something. And God, supernaturally, and I do believe in the supernatural, God supernaturally positioned that man right there at the right place at the right time so Amen. That my brother would end up here in 2019 on Heaven 97 talking about, y'all out there, listen for the joy.
Amen.
Listen for the joy. Start telling your friends and your family, God wants them and you. And he and this Jewish community out here, he says, when you get this word out to the Jew, look what Jesus did with 12 Jewish men. Will you listen to what the Bible is saying?
Amen.
He goes, I took 12 Jewish men and I turned the world upside down. Now, what will I do if the Church of Jesus Christ, no matter whether you call yourself Church of Christ, Baptist, whatever you call yourself, if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the dead, paying for your sins, if you would just take the time to speak to folks that, like I said, you know, first thing people ask me is, well, how do I know he's Jewish? Ask him.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Just start giving him the gospel. Yeah. Give him the gospel. So go ahead, brother.
Yes, I was gonna say, okay. Romans 11 speaks of provoking them to jealousy.
Yes.
You have something that the Jewish people who follow blindly what Rabbi is saying, there's really nothing spiritual if you've ever been to one of their services. Every service is exactly the same except the sermon. And holidays, they change a few things, but exactly the same. So provoking them, you have something that they don't have, and that's a relationship
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
And not just a personal relationship yeah. with God, and you're to provoke them to jealousy. You have nothing. You have something they do not have. I don't have time to tell a quick story on the provoking.
I'm going to hold that for just one moment. I'll get back to you. But right now, you're listening to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Good Shepherd Baptist Church. You can come join us every first and third Saturdays of the month. And right now, we're looking for you to call in and join us in this conversation with Dr. Savalaski and Good Shepherd Pastor Willie Milbury. And I'm Ed Fox, Director of Education. And the number is 972-996-3970. Dr. Savalaski, we have a question from the audience. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So it's Jewish culture has many facets. As we share our faith, how might the Jewish people we meet identify themselves specifically as it relates to Judaism?
Well, it's a Jewish person is, there's five major groups, or five groups, but the main three are the Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox. Mostly around here, you're going to meet a Reformed Jew in Fort Worth, Texas. You might have, there is a conservative group up there. And so they're going to, they don't look any different. They don't walk around with their yarmulkes or things of that nature. You don't see many Orthodox Jews because they normally work together, and they have strings hanging down, the four strings required. So most are identifying by being Reform or Conservative. That's 80% of all the Jewish people. But when talking to them or identifying, talking with them, one of the best ways to identify should be your love for Israel. That you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalms 122. We're told to pray for the peace. And so many people have asked me, well, what do I get up a conversation with? I don't know much about the Jewish faith. Talk about your love for the Jewish Israel and that you're praying for them. And when it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, there's actually two words of peace in that. The first one being shalom, pray for peace. And the second one, shawil, is inner peace.
Okay.
Prosper. Our KJV translate that prosper. Speaking of inner inside, knowing that you're doing God's will, God's work, gives an inner glow.
Hey, that joy that we're talking about, and it's hard to turn your back on Israel as a Christian and say you love Jesus all at the same time. That's a pretty difficult trick, but a lot of people are trying to walk that thin line, and you just can't do it. When he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and he says, I'll bless you. That when God says, I'll bless those who bless thee, and I'll curse him who curseth thee, that has been written, it's still the same today. Israel is God's barometer. They are the barometer. If you want to know what God is doing in his timetable, in his time frame, don't be looking at the wars and the rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera. Look at what's going on with Israel. When you see what God is doing over there with a group of people who are, what, approximately 2% of the world's population?
0.02%.
And just doing incredible things. Don't get jealous of them. Ask him how you do that. And God tells you, you start praying for him, pray for their success, and God will bless you.
Pastor, we have somebody on the line, Marilyn McMahon. Let's hear from Marilyn McMahon. Marilyn, do you have a question or a comment?
No, I just wanted to request prayer for my nephew-in-law, Abraham, who is Jewish.
Amen. Okay. We will do that. We will add these folks. Anybody who calls in, we will add these folks to our Wednesday night prayer list. Dr. Phil keeps a prayer list because prayer changes things. And if you love them, if you love your neighbor like yourself, then you don't want to see anybody go to hell. Speaking of, I was going to say go to hell when with the Jewish people. What's their concept of heaven and hell? They don't really have a concept of heaven and hell. They don't call it hell or anything.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
It depends on who you deal with. The Reform and conservatives do not believe in a hell. That's Dante's Inferno. They don't accept that. And they're not even sure that there's a heaven. But their normal response is, surely if there is a heaven, we Jews will go there. Now, if you talk to Orthodox, like my brother, yes. They believe in a literal hell. And they believe in a heaven. Now the discussion becomes, well, how does one get to heaven and how does one go to hell? And so that's typically with Jewish Orthodox, it's a rabbinical, it's a work type philosophy that you do the best you can and you hope it works out, so to speak. But there is, in the Orthodox community, a strong concept
of heaven and hell.
Yes.
I want to ask you this. Because we're winding down, y'all. Thank y'all for your time here today. We're winding down, but I want them to hear when Dr. Phil, he gave you how he came to faith at the Nikki Cruz crusade. He believed on the name of Jesus Christ and started going to Bible school at Arlington Baptist ABC at the time. But once your brother, who is now the rabbinical, the rabbi, he invited you to come to a, but you didn't know, a program for how do you say, wayward Jews?
Revival for wayward Jews to come back to Judaism.
Speak to that, please.
Chabad is a big in bringing Jews back to Judaism. And, of course, I didn't know that. And this is, I was a second-year Bible college student. And he contacted me and asked if I'd be willing to come to New York. And being a typical Bible college student, have no money, he said, well, I'll pay for it. And I said, I'll come. And, and so I hadn't seen him in 7 years, so it was something I thought would be neat to hear. And so I did and stayed with this couple at their Jewish home and we did a lot of things, and that was interesting. But finally, after the Sabbath was over, we were walking home from the shul, and my brother says, we're going to a party. And I thought, okay, of course, not a whole lot I could do anyhow. So we walked and walked and walked and get to the house, and I sit down, and all of a sudden, seven rabbis appeared in front of the table, and there was about 12 to 15 people who sat in the living room to listen, and we had a theological debate from 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that, to 2, 3 in the morning.
Wait, excuse me, was there anybody else there on your side?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
Then the Bible was flopped down. And the debate went on. Of course, I was just a second-year Bible college student, so I knew very little higher and lower criticism of scriptures. I did what I could. But they wanted to conclude about 2 in the morning. They said, now, are you telling me that the 6 million Jews who died without Christ went to hell? And then they make up a scenario where a German who had killed many Jews just before he gets shot says, I believe in Jesus, and he gets shot and goes to hell. Goes to heaven.
Yeah, heaven, right.
And that was a question I, of course, never heard of. And I sat there and said, well, I can only answer what I knew was truth, that without Christ, heaven is not your home. Now I would answer the same way, but a little differently, because now you must first discover how one gets to heaven and then how one goes to hell. And if it's a works heaven, the problem with the works getting in there is that, well, what happens if I do everything that's required, but 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 days, 6 seconds before I die, I backslide? Does that mean I don't go? I mean, I blow it. It doesn't hold up a work salvation.
Amen.
And so that's where the grace of the Savior, that we're saved by faith. It's when we're saved, it's we're born again, and we cannot lose it. No one can take out of God's hand. So,
amen.
Salvation is for all, forever. And so, it was, you know, again, it spurred me on to learn more of the Word of God, finish my undergraduates, have a master's from Grace Theological Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. I've done further studies at Jerusalem University College in 2005, and I'm a perpetual PhD student Louisiana Baptist Seminary.
An excellent segue to the next question. We've got the last few minutes here. We've got a question from the audience. By the way, thank you, Marilyn, for that prayer request. We're going to be praying for your nephew, Abraham. What is the role of Jewish people in the Bible, eschatologically speaking, during the time when Jesus Christ returns? I'll give you 2 minutes to answer that.
Oh, wow.
you have the, of course, the rapture coming. Let's give it just a general background. We're in the church age now. We're the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, where we'll meet them in the air. Then there's you've got the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble for 7 years, Daniel chapter 9, the 70th week of Daniel. And then you've got the last 3.5. It's called the Great Tribulation. And then you have the second coming where Christ comes back. You as a believer, if you were saved, will come back with him to rule and reign. There's 75 days of getting things situated, and then you have the millennial kingdom. It's that 1,000-year reign. And so then you have the new heaven, new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So with that as a basic background, Romans 11 says all Israel shall be saved. And so when it speaks of that, in the tribulation, that time of Jacob's trouble, why, boy, it's the Day of Atonement in the seven feasts in God's calendar, in my belief, was at the very end of the tribulation, all Israel and Gentiles will be saved as well. But the Bible's always been focused on Israel and the Jewish people. And so they'll have the two witnesses, 144,000. These were Jewish evangelists, 144,000, who are God always has the gospel for the earth. And so with the rapture, the believers are all taken out. Who will get the gospel out? The Bible says the angel will do it. The Bible says the two witnesses, 144,000. The rapture will do it because many people will finally realize that what they heard before was true. And then all those vials, trumpets, and seals, all those things will be a purpose just like they were back in Exodus, where they were to evangelize. Even though people are dying, you get caught up in all the blood and guts.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that's going to bring people to Christ as well.
And you're saying that that 144,000, the biblical 144,000, are all Jews, correct?
I just
want to put that out there because there's some folks who don't realize that.
That's true. And they said they're virgins.
Yes.
Now, what that can mean, several things. Well, anyways.
But we know they're all Jews.
Yes.
As we close, thank you, Dr. Solowski. We're going to crank up the joy. Right now, as we close, we're going to crank up the joy so that next time when you come, we're going to, on March 16th, we're going to have an overview of the Jewish feasts in the Bible, the seven Jewish feasts in the Bible. We're going to let you give us an explanation, and it's going to be super exciting. This is Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. This is Ed Fox. I'm the Director of Education, Pastor Will, who's the pastor of Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and Dr. Savalowski, who's an author, and it gives a journey of faith, giving us his testimony and how he became a Christian Jew, completing his Jewishness.
I have three other books, just so you know.
Oh, and three other books. Give us those just as we close. What's the title of those three others?
Startling Role of Iraq and the Rise of the Antichrist, God's Greatest Promise to Israel, and the Peace Trees, how they're setting the stage for the Antichrist. And finally, we have a Facebook page. If you want to follow about Israel, it's at Olive Tree Ministries International, and it's all about Israel. And the good news is, if you hit like, it's free.
Amen.
Very often,
and this will all be available to you at Good Shepherd's website, Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Grand Prairie, Texas.
We're online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. Listen for the joy.
God bless.
With Pastor Will E. Milbury. If you have any questions about today's broadcast, need more information about this ministry, or would like to make a donation, visit GoodShepherdBaptistGP.com or call 972-262-1111. Join us every first and third Saturdays at 1 p.m. for Listen for the Joy on Heaven 97 KHVN.
Jew and Gentile woman.